We probably spent many years davening in shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We just started. We probably spent many years davening in shul on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And this year also applies to Yom Kippur to some degree. The Yom Kippur davening to some degree, because there is overlap in a lot of the piyutim that we say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we don't realize, A, what we're saying. We don't realize the format. We don't realize what tunes are appropriate. We assume that all tunes that Chazanim do, that Bali Tefillah do, are appropriate for whatever they're doing. Slow, fast, that everything fits. And the tunes that I grew up with are the tunes that are, no pun intended, because that's a term that we're going to mention in about a minute from now, that they're Misinai, which is a real term for Nigunim, as we'll see. It's a real concept. But we really need to take a step back and go a little behind the scenes in terms of the Rosh Hashanah davening. This is a unique topic, it's a unique sugya and a unique shir, and we'll try to present it, as we always do, with clarity, but to understand that it's a little more complicated than just Bali Tefillah, Baal Shachris, Baal Musaf, getting up as a chaz in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and just davening and saying whatever he wants and singing whatever he wants. So the first question that we have to ask as part of the shir is, when did the Nusach and Nigunim, welcome, when did the Nusach and Nigunim of the Yamim Noraim begin? So you have some English on your Makoros, but and in that, you have the first paragraph on the Yamim Noraim, Ma'ariv Baruch Hu, the most famous tune of all of the tunes. Join us. And we see that Baruch Hu began, you can read the paragraph in front of you in English, but I'm going to explain a little bit more, that Baruch Hu began in the 700s, where the rabbis of Italy and Bavel, of Babylon, Babylonia, were brought in to compose tfilos and traditions of the Yamim Noraim. Now, when I say tfilos and traditions, I'm not just referring to tfilos. Today's shir is on the Rosh Hashanah davening, but I'm not just talking about the tfilos. They put in certain traditions of what's appropriate, of maybe a little bit of the dress, of the way we behave, the way we conduct ourselves on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, of who joins at the bima at certain times, of not really who makes the announcements, but of what specific style is acceptable in our shuls. So that began in the 700s. That's the time of the Gaonim. A lot began in the Gaonim, and a lot didn't only begin in the period of the Gaonim, but they went from what we call minhagim to strong minhagim. And strong minhagim, we know, minhag Yisrael Torah. They're a real, they become a real din. They're not officially a halacha, but they become a real din as far as we are concerned. We take a step forward in terms of the nigunim and the Rosh Hashanah davening. And again, this is a real behind the scenes tour and shir of the Rosh Hashanah davening. I'll repeat for those who just came a minute late that we spent many years in shul, and we just assumed that the Rosh Hashanah davening was this way for many years, and the shul that I'm davening in, these were the nigunim for many years, and that everything's appropriate. The slow nigunim are appropriate for their time, and the fast nigunim are appropriate for where they are in the Ma'ariv, Shachris, or Musaf, etc. And we really don't know what's appropriate and what's not. So what are the different categories of nigunim? So there are three categories when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur nigunim, what we call the nigunim of the Yom Noraim. The first category is what's called, welcome, is what's called nigunim misinai. This is why I mentioned before misinai, nigunim misinai. Now, the nigunim misinai, and we're going to list, that's why some years I do this with a machzer and some without. I figured it would be easier without a machzer. Just if you're going to be taking notes, you can just take down the tefillos as I say them. And if not, you'll commit it to memory. You could ask me after. But doing it with a machzer, the shiur might take a little bit longer, and we might have to go a little bit slower. And there's always a lot to say. So the first category of the nigunim misinai are the most untouchable nigunim, and that's according to the Ma'aril. Thank you, Nathan. So according to the Ma'aril was the one of the Ashkenazic leading Rishonim in the later Rishonim period, who formed a lot of the Nigunim, welcome, of the Yom Noraim. The Ma'aril was Rav Yaakov Molin, Mem Vav Lamed Yud Nun, from Germany, lived between 1365 and 1427, and the Ma'aril, 1365 to 1427, the Ma'aril says that the following piyutim, you should take these down because you don't have a machzer in front of you, the following piyutim and nigunim, which is nusach, are untouchable and unchangeable in terms of their nusach. And they include In Mariv, we'll do Mariv and Shachris and Musaf separately. In Mariv, it's Baruch Hu, the beginning niggun that we know to introduce Baruch Hu that's been around for hundreds of years, since the 700s, as you see in front of you and as I mentioned. Baruch Hu, all the brachos endings. Hamariv Aravim, Oev Amo Yisrael, Tiku Vachodesh Shofar, Bakesel Yom Chagenu, Kichok LeYisrael, Hu Mishpat LeElokei Yaakov. This is in Mariv, that's also done in Nusach. And Kaddish. Kaddish is part of the Nusach and the Nigunim Misinai, the Misinai melodies, the first category. In Shachris, the introductory Nigun, it varies a little bit, the introductory Nigun to HaMelech for all Bali Shachris, but the fact that they have to be in a certain mode, that is Misinai. HaMelech itself, the culmination of HaMelech. The first three paragraphs would seem familiar because they are done on every Shabbos and Yontif, and in fact, what differs in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and you take a look at your Artsko Machzor, has it outlined perfectly. The other Machzorim also do, but in Artsko you see it because it's bolded, that it has Yitzchak and Rivka, right? That's the way that B'fi Yisharim, Tisromam, normally on a Shabbos it's not Tisromam, often it's Tishalal, it varies between Nusach Svar and Nusach Ashkenaz, but you have the Yitzchak and Rivka, you could see in the opening piyut, after HaMelech, the opening paragraph, after HaMelech and Shachris. So the first three paragraphs, all the way through Yishtabach, as well as Shir HaMalos, the Shir HaMalos, responsive Shir HaMalos from Namakim, that's done in Shachris, the Aron is opened. Kaddish, Baruch Hu, this is Shachris, Yotzer Or, welcome. Take Mikoros either with Ezra or with myself. Take for myself, give this to Gabriel, please. You got it? Good. You said Shir HaMalos, Kaddish Baruch Hu, Yotzer Or, which is not just the bracha of Yotzer Or of Orichoshech, but it's, and again, if you write this down now, then you go to your machzer, or even better, right, better yet, in addition to taking notes, I'm always a big note taker, the 40 Tapis guys know that very well, 5,000 years to our history guys also know that, take notes, you will have these forever. Mirtz Hashem, for a long time, put this under your glass on Rosh Hashanah by your muckle. Put it under the plastic, the plexiglass, so that you can refer to it on Rosh Hashanah and keep it there for Yom Kippur, because there's a lot of overlap. All brachos endings, sorry, that we did, right, the birchos kriyashma endings in Shachris, the opening of Shmona Esrei and the bracha of Avos until Magen Avraham. There's a Chazin's Tfilah that's said in Shachris of all 3 days. All 3 days, right? 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and then Eimecha Nasasi begins with Eimecha, your fear, your Ema, your awe. Eimecha Nasasi, so all 3 days. Yaresi Bivtsosi, Asisi L'chananach on the second day. Yaresi Bivtsosi is the first day Rosh Hashanah, this coming Tuesday. Asisi L'chananach on the second day. And then Eimecha Nasasi on Yom Kippur. All 3 days Shachris, that's done in a certain Nusach. That's Misinai. Shulachti, which is a tefillah on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Second day Rosh Hashanah. Welcome. In Shachris, that's the Chazan's private tefillah. That's also Ashrei Ha'am, Yodei Srua, which is before a shofar, which leads into Ashrei Yoshvei Vesecha before a after the Tekiyos Demiyushav, but Ashrei Ha'am of Seder Tekiya Shofar, Ata Gibor. And then Yom Kippur, there are a number also. We'll try to get to that if we have time. But there are at least 50 Nigunim Misinai. Nigunim Misinai mean, again, that they're done in a certain Nusach. They should be done in Nusach. There's plenty of room for tunes, as we're going to get through. That's three quarters of today's shiur. There's plenty of room for tunes, but those are more the Nusach, official Nusach paragraphs, so you need to know Nusach. But there are at least 50 Nigunim Misinai. The second category is not called Nigunim Misinai. We'll take a question in a second, Nathan. The second category is called Corollary Nigunim Misinai. Corollary Nigunim Misinai means you can be a little more flexible, and we'll explain which ones they are in a second, Nathan.
For like things like the Baruch Hu tune,
yeah.
If they're like Misinai, right? Then they have like some sort of like.
Like, Kedusha?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, is there an issue with using those tunes elsewhere where there might not be so much?
That's a great question. So a lot of people feel that way. I haven't found the source. The answer to your question, I haven't found the source that says that you may not use it for Simchas Torah. You may not use it for Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. But, what?
For,
it's used, right, it's used Purim. Because Yom Kippur, we're a little bit looser on Purim. People are a little bit under the influence on Purim, but the Koach HaTfila, I say seriously, the Koach HaTfila on Purim, it's because of Esther Hamalka coming before Achashverosh. She said the kapitel, the parak of Tehillim Chaf Beis, Ayawar HaShachar, and we try to mimic that in a very good way, in a very sincere way, but there are people who say that you shouldn't take it out of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Yom Noraim are Yom Noraim. In fact, there are people who do Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, like they do at the end of Yom Kippur, the end of Ne'ilah, they'll do it during very emotional times. I'm not going to mention specifically when they do it, a specific time I'm thinking of, because whatever. I'll tell you off the recording, because I have a certain opinion on that, but I can't say this out loud. I definitely can't say it on the recording. But because I'm not such a fan of that. But I will say I haven't found a source for saying that it's usser, but there are people who say that it's inappropriate. The second category is the corollary nigunim misinai. Corollary means that you could be a little more flexible. Let's continue with Shir. The brachos of Chazaras Hashatz are the second category. The piyut, which is often sung. I mean, in every shul that I know, it's sung, and I personally sing it where I daven for my shul. Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech. And back to Nusach a little bit, what everybody does for Nusach, of Ad Yom Moso, until the day that someone dies, Techake Lo Leshuva, that's said on Yom Kippur at Shachris. Ad Yom Moso, Techake Lo Leshuva, it's also said in Musaf, I believe, also. But that's the second category. And the third category, which is the sing-along melodies, you see how heavy the first category is. I mean, there must be, right, we said, over 50 or so Nigunim Misinai. Second category has a few fewer than that, and the third category has a few fewer than even that. The third category is the sing-along melodies. Melech Elyon, that's the first day Musaf, second day Shachris. And there are other piyutim that we say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that you can Al Yisrael Emunaso, Al Yisrael Gavaso, Al Yisrael Birchaso, etc. Al Yisrael Gavaso, and Haderes V'Emuna on Yom Kippur. Those are the sing-along melodies that you can sing along. Then comes the Ramah. The Ramah, which you have in front of you, in Simen Tuf Reish Yotes, or Chaim Tuf Reish Yotes Sif Aleph, you have in front of you, the Ramah says, V'al Yishane Adam Imin HaGa'ir, Afilu B'nigunim O'B'Piyutim Sha'omrim Sham. He quotes from, guess who? The Maril, who, as we'll say again, formed and shaped a lot of the Minhagim that we have in the Ashkenazi communities for many years, but particularly shaped our Minhagim for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Ramah says that one should not change the age-old community Nigunim and Nusach. It's really a question if this applies the way it's intended. That's the question. You read one line of the Ramah and you ask the question, and feel free to write this down, whether it applies the way it's intended. Meaning what? Meaning, Aaron, that a new Baal Tefillah who is following a Baal Tefillah who had been in the shul for 30, 40, 50 years. So what does a new Baal Tefillah do? So a new Baal Tefillah may sing. He may sing his own Nigunim, welcome. He may sing his own Nigunim, a repertoire, but he shouldn't change his own Nigunim, particularly for the Piyutim. Which means that if he wants to insert a few Nigunim, he can insert his Nigunim. But he should realize two things. One is, what is Nusach? And what really needs to be kept Misinai? That first category being the most important, the Misinai Nigunim. And that he has to find out if he's just going to be there for a year, so I guess it matters less. But if he's going to be there for longer, then he should keep the same Nigunim, he should lock in the same Nigunim for many years to come. He shouldn't change his own Nigunim, particularly for the Piyutim.
Can you try new tunes?
You can try new tunes, but make sure that they're locked in now. If he knows he's going to be there for many years, he should try to keep those Nigunim. He should try as best he can to decide what nigunim he's using, find out if the shul is going to have him. Most of the time, you're able to find out. I mean, you know, Mimanashach, if he's only there for a year, he'll find out after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur if they want to have him back for the next year. And if he's confident, usually you know, that he's going to be there long term, so decide what nigunim you want before that first Rosh Hashanah and work with the kahal, work with the congregation on those nigunim and to keep those nigunim. Now let's take this a step further. It's not so simple. We've outlined in our usual clarity the three categories of nigunim, but now you take it a step further and you open it up to Shas, as we always do. There are two gemaras in Shas, which aren't too far from each other, but there are two gemaras in Shas which indicate that it is proper to sing during davening. We just dealt with a whole stick to the nusach. We opened it up for a few piyutim to sing along melodies. That was the third category. Okay, fine. But there are two gemaras which indicate that it's proper to sing during davening. The first gemara is the gemara in Brachos on Davav. The gemara in Brachos on Davav tells us, Tanya Abba ben Yamin Omer, Ein tefila shel adam nishmes, nishmas ela beveis hakneses. Person's tefila is only heard in the shul. Shenemar, you shouldn't be davening at home, you shouldn't be davening in breakaway minyanim, according to Abba ben Yamin. Shenemar, lishmoa el harina v'yala tefila, which, not coincidentally, is the opening, the main piyut, Motzei Menucha, the opening night of Slichos, last Motzei Shabbos. Lishmol Arina V'yala Tfila, Darshans, the Gemara, Darshans Elimelech, Darshans Ab Ben Yamin, P'makom Rina, Shom Tehei Tfila. Rina and Tfila are two different expressions. They're two different emotions. Rina is more the singing, Lishmol El Harina, but why did it need to repeat Tfila? Tfila is the text. Tfila is what the Anshei Knesset HaGedola instituted. Wonderful things. Maybe we could sing within tefillah also. But Rina is pure song. That is what it means. That's what it is. So the two go together. In the same Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Noraim davening, you can have both Rina and tefillah. You have both Nusach and you have the singing. The second Gemara in Shas is only 20 blot later. Not a few mesechtas later, only 20 blot later. And the Gemara in Brachos, on the Chaf Vav Amud Beis, the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachos, the fourth parak Tfilas HaShachar, deals with the halachos of tefillah. It opens with the machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim. Fellas, we need to do Shas Mishnayos every day. We need to know Mishnayos. It's the backbone to everything. We need to do Mishnayos. There's my plug. My plug is over. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis, tells us, Itmar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Omar, Rambam Yomi also tzaddik, but people who just got their Moskowitz Rambams. Wonderful, wonderful. Put them to good use. Tfilos Avos Tiknum. Avram, Shachris, Yitzchak, Mincha, Yaakov, Mariv. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Tfilos Keneget Midim Tiknum. The Tfilos correspond to the Karbanos, to the sacrifices. Okay. Prayer, according to the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chavav, Tfila, prayer, should resemble the sweetness and Ritzui, appeasing Hashem. An attractive fragrance of the karbanos. That's what it is. And that's something that we say in the Yom Kippur tefillah. I believe we say it in the Ilah, out of all places. We wait until the very end. Ye ratzeh ke karbanos. We say it elsewhere also, if I'm not mistaken, but these two gemaras emphasize three points. Three points, get this down. The first is that shir, singing, b'makom rina shamte tefila, that shir is ma'akev a karban and must accompany karbanos. You can't just have, you'll pardon the word, rigid, but you know, stiff or strict text, but you need a fusion of tefila and rina, of rina and tefila. So the first is that shir, singing, prevents a karban from being chal, because they would bring the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So the karban needs to be accompanied with song. The Leviim would lead, Ulevim, Bushiram, Muzimram. The Leviim would lead the shir. The second is, and that was part of the Avodah, the second is that even though there must be song incorporated into tefillah, it's unclear how much and which songs are acceptable. It's unclear, again, how much and which songs are acceptable. And the third is, to come full circle within these two Gemaras and Brachos, the third is, B'makom Rina Shem Tehei Tefila. That means that a piyut, the chiddush we're going to say here, it's not so much a chiddush, but the the inference that we're going to say is that what does it mean, b'makom rina shamtei tefila, that even within a piyut, within a poem, within the liturgical poems, that we say Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, or Imru Lelokim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, just mentioning a couple, Dagol Mervava Husach Vayei in Shachris of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Many of those, they'll come back and be like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. And when you open your machzor, you're going to have a greater appreciation of tefillah. Even one piyut, even each piyut, may be split between rina and tefillah if it has conflicting themes. Because if you look at each one, you're able to tell, and if you're not sure, read the English in the article machzor before the chazan gets to it in yeshiva. Or while he's doing it, read the English and daven at the same time. If you're able to do both, you'll see the themes. Based on this, there are two views which historically set up the precedent and standard for appropriate nigunim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Based on this, there are two views. This is the meat of the shir. Two views which historically set up the precedent and standard for appropriate nigunim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. The first is the Ma'aril. Comes the Ma'aril and says, there are rules and halachos governing nigunim and tefillah, and there is a much more rigid set list of appropriate nigunim. That's the Ma'aril. We'll explain what that means in a second. But that's the Ma'aril. The starting point of the Ma'aril is that we're focused on nusach, we're focused on the rigid list of appropriate nigunim. The second approach is the Sefer Chasidim. The Sefer Chasidim was Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel Regensburg, who lived in the late 1100s. And the Sefer Chasidim, Rav Regensburg, says that when you daven, use tunes that in your judgment are pleasant and sweet. And the following thing I'm going to say is the meat of this entire shir, is the main point. When you look at the piyutim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there are two categories. Everything falls into one of two categories. There's either bakasha or the sloni gunim, or there's the shevach. The shevach, the praise, bakasha is requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shevach is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it makes sense. Those can be more faster, more upbeat nigunim. I'd like to outline three examples so that davening for you is even more meaningful than it's been since we started shir. That when you get to open the machzor in good health tomorrow night and through Tuesday and Wednesday, you will have such a great appreciation for davening Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The first is Dagol Mervava, the piyut that we say after we say Yimloch Hashem Liolam Elokayach Tzion Lador Ador Haluka. I'm not going to demonstrate for you, but we do that. I'm trying to conserve my voice. But the first we say is Dagol Mervava. Dagol Mervava is officially Shevach. If you look at it's arranged in the form of the Aleph Beis, Dagol Mervava, Hu Sach Vayehi. Hu is the Hey, Sach Vayehi is the Vav, Vitziva V'Nivro, Zichro Lanetzach. That's the Zion, Chai Olamim is the Ches, Tahor Einayim is the Test, Yosef Seser, Kisro Yeshua, Yud Chaf, etc. We're not going to do all Baal Peh, we'll save that for another time, but Dagol Mervava, that Piyut, is officially Shevach. It mentions all of Hashem's qualities and attributes, but the introduction is Bakasha. Yimloch Hashem Yolam Elokayach Tzion Lador Vador Haluka. That's Bakasha. I don't know if we'll do much more demonstration than that, but the introduction is Bakasha. That's Yimloch Hashem Yolam Elokayach Tzion. Hashem should crown himself over Eretz Yisrael, over Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh, over Eretz Yisrael, as we know. That's something we say every day in Kedusha. So, since it's officially Shevach, you can do that in a fast tune. I personally do it to a slow tune, but you can do that to a fast tune. Yimloch Hashem Liolam should be in Nusach, because that's Bakasha. That should be in Nusach. A slower tune, a more introspective tune, one that gets the attention of the Kahal, of the congregation, That's Dagol Mervava. The second clearest example is L'David Mizmor. L'David Mizmor, we say it Mariv all three nights. And Rosh Hashanah, when we say it, it can really be said with half and half. Half Nusach and half Nigunim, because it's Tehillim Chaf Dalid, as we know, but it's half Shevach and half Bakasha. If you really read every word of L'David Mizmor, you'll see it's half Shevach and half Bakasha, so you can split between Nusach and Nigun. I personally do that. The first half I do is Nusach, the second half I do is Nigun. It's not long, but either way, it's responsive with the Kahal. But again, that's that idea. It's literally Shevach and Bakasha. And the third is the most controversial, but the third is Lekel Orech Din. Lekel Orech Din, which we say the first day in Shachris, the second day in Musaf, and something that you definitely want to get down, unless you want to get down in your notes, unless you knew this already, is that the Shachris of Yom Kippur mirrors, it parallels, and is very similar to Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Chamol al Maasecha does not appear in Shachris of Rosh Hashanah. It appears in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and it appears in Shachris of Yom Kippur. And Lekel Orech Din, again, appears the first day in Rosh Hashanah Shachris, second day in Musaf. It appears again in Yom Kippur Shachris. It's a serious pier, but if you, and most people will do it with Nusach. Livochein livavos b'yom din. I personally do it to Dveikis Hamalcha Goel. I personally do. I'm giving away secrets here, right? So I personally do it to a nigin, but a slow, introspective, serious nigin. If you look at Lekel Orech Din, it's interesting how nigunim got the reputation that they did for more serious, or God forbid, not the opposite of like more jovial, but more serious, or like more rigid or less rigid, we'll say. But it's interesting because Lekel Orech Din, if you look at the words, just translate the words, it's not really bakasha. It mentions Hashem's attributes. Right? Liyodea machashavos biyom din is not bakashos. It's, I mean, we are begging Hashem all day, but it's mentioning that Hashem knows our inner thoughts. Right? It mentions Hashem's attributes with a focus on the Yom HaDin. With a focus on the Yom HaDin. So, you can sing it. I wouldn't do it to a fast niggin. That would be a little out of place, a little bit in bad taste. But you don't have to do it to Nusach. Those are the three. Dagomer Vava, those are the three clearest examples. I mean, there are many other examples. But those are the three clearest examples of the two categories of Bakasha and Shevach. Next, is there anything which is absolutely off limits? In extension to Nathan's question before, which is such an important question of beyond Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You have people who do it Simchas Torah. You have people who find themselves in a soulful Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim moment. And they'll scream out Shema Yisrael and Hashem Hu Elokim, just like we do in Ela. Is that appropriate? So, is there anything which is absolutely off limits? On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur itself, we're not talking about Simchas Torah. We're not talking about Purim. So for this, we turn to the Gemara in the Chagiga, which you have in front of you. Acher Mai. So the Gemara in the Chagiga, Daf Tesvav and Medeis, is talking about Acher. Acher is Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya became an apostate and went off the derech. Off the derech hayashar of from Judaism. Because Zemer Yevani, Greek Nigunim, Greek songs, Lo Pasuk Mipume. His Greek Nigunim, his non-Jewish tunes, never left his mouth. He was always singing those Nigunim. And he was never singing Jewish Nigunim, or what a lot of the composers today do not call Jewish music. They call it Torah music. There's a lot of Nigunim that's Jewish music. But Torah music is something that makes you a better Jew, makes you a better Oved Hashem. It's for the from, I mean, or even for the not yet from. It's Makariv people, okay, amazing. But it's Torah music, not just Jewish music, which is an interesting one-liner. Not a Rav Dovi one-liner, but an interesting one-liner. But he was never singing Jewish Nigunim, and all he was singing was non-Jewish Nigunim. All he was singing was Greek Nigunim. So it's because of that, Jacob, that he went off the derech. Okay, that's what the Gemara in Chagiga says, that's not me. Before we get to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Ramah, next in the Mekoros, the Ramah in Aruch Chaim Siman Nun Gimel, Se'if Chaf Hei, quotes from the Kolbo. And the Kolbo says Vishat Shemaranin Bishir Hanachrim, Mimachin Biyado, Ishliach Tibur, a chazan about tefillah that sings non-Jewish songs in Kedusha, in his tefillah. Shir HaNachrim, the non-Jewish Nigunim, Mimachin Biyado. We make a macha, we protest. Shelo Lasos Kain, that he not do this. Vim Eino Shomea Mavirin Oso. And if he doesn't listen, we remove him from his post. He can no longer be chazan. The Gabayim make the call. The Gabayim should know what's Jewish, or we don't call it Jewish music, we call it Torah music, and what's non-Torah music. Now the Ramah says more. He says that in Misalkin Oso Mishum Rinun Bi'alma, that we don't remove him if he's just singing neutral Nigunim. What we assume to be neutral Nigunim, people have asked this in the past. Neutral Nigunim are things that don't have, you know, values that are antithetical to Torah, what we would call classical music. If he was singing, you know, Yanni at the Acropolis, or, you know, whatever, I don't know. People are familiar with that music. But any, let's say, classical music, okay, rough crowd, but if, you know, classical music, so that's not Torah music, but it's not, you know, Reb Shlomo, but it's not, it's also not antithetical to Torah values. It's sweet music that's not necessarily Torah music. So the question is, what the Ramah means, what's the question you could ask?
Who said that?
The Ramah quotes from the Kolbo, who says this. And this is in the Ramah. The Ramah's quoting from the Kolbo. The Kolbo's listed about four lines down, but that's the line that we said. V'shatz ha-menabel piv, like from Nivel Peh. V'shatz who profanes his mouth. O shemaranim b'shirei anachrim, mochin b'yado shalolasos kein v'meino shameh ma'avir noso. That's the Kolbo, daf kof chav hei. The question is how to interpret this Ramah, because it's a little bit open. I mean, we clarified a little bit. We did that middle category of what about classical music. So the Aruch HaShulchan comes to the rescue and says the Aruch HaShulchan, Nor Chaim Simon Nun Gimel, you have in front of you at the bottom, V'chein Shliach Tzibur HaMenabel Piv, O Shar B'Shirei Agavim, Mochin Bo Shelo Lasos Kein Shelo Yaseh Kein, Vim Eino Shomea, very similar to what we just read from the Kolbo, Ma'avir No So, we remove him from his Chazan post. The Ramah meant, says the Aruch HaShulchan, there's one different word here. There's one change of a word here. Not B'Shirei HaNachrim, B'Shirei Agavim. What does B'Shirei Agavim with an ayin mean? Feel free to underline, make an emphasis there. The Ramah meant Shirei Agavim. Shirei Agavim is secular love songs. That's what Shirei Agavim means. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Trumas Hadeshen. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Trumas Hadeshen that Shirei HaNachrim is a more stringent view, because it means songs that are sung for non-Jews, meaning any secular song. It might even mean, according to the Kolbo, that a Shliach Tzibur who sings secular songs, not B'Shas HaTfilah, meaning that's what he sings in the shower, whether that's okay or not to sing in the shower, that's another thing, but to sing, he sings on his way to work, he sings when he's jogging. I don't know, he sings in his own time, or he goes to parties that have secular music, or he's always exposed to the secular music. This is the Aruch HaShulchan interpreting the Kolbo, that this guy goes to parties that have secular music. You see what I'm saying here, that this isn't me interpreting, but this is what the Kolbo says, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan interpreting what the Ramah meant, Shirei Agavim, that's the difference that the Aruch HaShulchan has, that it is... It means that this guy has Shirei Agavim or Shirei HaNachrim in his ears, in his headphones, in his AirPods, all day, every day. That's the only thing he listens to. So that is what he means. And if that's what he means, a Shliach Tzibur, who the only thing he has in his repertoire is secular songs, even if it's not Shirei Agavim, even if it's not secular love songs, that's not the best Shliach Tzibur to have leading you. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which you do not have in front of you. Those who have been to my shiurim before with Makoros know that I always do the one-sided Makoros because it's a Yediyah Shir, it's information style. Those people, 40 topics, they're non-stop typing or writing, so they know. So I don't give you everything. If I gave you everything, it would be spoon-feeding. But I want to give you enough to keep your interest and enough so that you take notes and that you work a little bit. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lavitcher Rebbe, Rosh Neir Zalman of Liadi, the Balatanya, who you do not have in front of you, says that no, he disagrees with the approaches that we quoted. It's important to get down because he disagrees. It means only a shatz who sings secular songs b'shas ha'tfilah. What he does in his own time is none of your or my business. But what he does during tefillah is our business. It's the gabbai's business, it's the board's business, it's the community member's business, it's the congregant's business. If he does it b'shas ha'tfilah, if he sings, and I've been in shuls like this, who sings Sunny Days, Sesame Street, in the middle of Simchas Torah, Kedusha, that's inappropriate. That Shliach Tzibur needs to be spoken to. He gets a warning, a yellow card, a red card, whatever, and then the next time, you pop him. But, not literally pop him, but you politely, midos tovos, fellas, midos before anything, you politely ask him to please leave our shul and never come back. So, that's the one who sings secular love songs, b'shas ha'tfilah, dafka b'shas ha'tfilah. What he does during his own time, what he does when he's jogging, is not your or my business. This is the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the first Bava Tshereva. Question for Max, and then we go to our last part of Shir, which is not in front of you, but is very, very important. Yeah.
Is everyone allowed to? Would you give a heads up to most people being allowed to sing non-Jewish music?
To do in your own time, yeah. I will say that non-Jewish music, putting it in your ears, just like anything that you watch on television or on YouTube or anything else that you're watching online, anything that you see a billboard, you know, anywhere, whatever, it's ingrained in your mind. And we all know this. We all know this. That I'm not just talking about if someone will wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about that these are the songs that we grew up with or that we still have in our heads. So it's the same reason why, and here's my annual plug, and I only say this once. B'nai Torah listen to certain music. If you need to grow out of the music that you're listening to and it takes a little bit longer, that's fine. But along with your growth will come growth in other areas. I'll just say that and we'll end that part of the conversation. If you don't know what I'm referring to, or I'm not driving an agenda, but I'm just saying, the same way that people grow, hopefully at a healthy pace, and they do certain things, they carry themselves, right? They used to never tuck in their shirt, now they tuck in their shirt. They used to drink out of a big bottle, now they drink out of a cup. So I'm just quoting a number of things, right? All I'm saying is innocent things. Some people in the Chabura know exactly what I'm talking about. But, and some others maybe also. But my point is, and I think you all understand what I'm saying, that as you grow, a little bit extension to the Thursday night Musar that we had Thursday night, which had nothing to do with this. It was all about believing in your potential, believing in yourself, and the more positive message of Rosh Hashanah and for the entire year and for your entire life. But just a word from your sponsor to say that as you grow in different stages in your Shana Aleph and beyond, you're going to grow in a healthy way and you're going to grow at a certain pace. Certain things in your growth will mean that you do certain things. I'm speaking in codes on purpose because I don't want to A, insult people, but B, speak specifically about certain parts of growth. But you know what I mean. People, you didn't dress the way, you're not dressed as an 18-year-old the same way that you dressed when you were 4 or 5. And there's a reason for that. Or the same way that you dressed when you're 10 or 11. And you know now that, you know, Beis Medrash requires, or demands, just from a Ben Torah, certain behavior, certain speech, certain clothing. You know that. So along that comes with, whether it's music, the way we speak to people, the way we behave, what we eat, how we drink, and how we eat, etc. And that's that. The last part of Shir is very important because, even though it's not on your sheet and you have to take it down, it is something that all of us struggle with, and that is understanding parts of the Machzor. This goes beyond the Nigunim. This goes beyond your appreciation of parts of tefillah, and it gets to the more textual parts of davening. And to that I say and ask the final question in our sugya: are there any textual points in the Machzor, particularly in Musaf, to be aware of? Of course there are, otherwise Shir would end right now. So there are three: there's Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. In Malchios, first, I want to say as an introduction to all three, and then we'll get to Malchios. In Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, in all three, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. I'll repeat the Gemara if you're going to get it down. Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi that you need 3 psukim from Torah, 3 from Ksuvim, and then 3 from Nevi'im. Ksuvim comes before Nevi'im. V'al yedei avodecha ha-Nevi'im kasuv le'emor. But Nevi'im is last. Torah, Ksuvim, and Nevi'im.
Why?
I thought that was Avram Fried in the background. What?
Why is that? Why is it in that order?
So, I'm not sure as to why that is, but we make that as a point. Why do the I'm not even sure. I know that there were some reasons. It could be that we might answer it in my notes, but off the top of my head, I don't remember. But the Malchios, the Chorus, and Shofros, even though all three of them have that format, they each have different textual points to be aware of. In Malchios, here we go. The Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, and if you write it down now, and you look at your Machzer anytime in the next 72 to 96 hours, this will all make sense. The Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Adoshem Elokeinu, Adoshem Echa. The Pasuk of Shema Yisrael really belongs to the next paragraph. To demonstrate this, the Baal Musaf should pause between Bayom Hahu, Bayom Hahu, Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, and Uvisoras Echa Kasuv Lemor. Because the first nine psukim are the fundamental belief that Hashem is the Melech, that Hashem is the King. The tenth pasuk, Eli Melech, the tenth pasuk of Shema Yisrael, is supposed to be used as part of the bakasha at the end of the bracha. At the end of the bracha. It belongs, really, it belongs with the next paragraph of the Yinaseh kol ha'aretz bikarecha. Or what we say, Elokeinu v'elokei avoseinu melocha kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha v'yinaseh kol ha'aretz bikarecha. That's in terms of Malchios. The difference between the 10th pasuk and the first nine. The pasuk of Shema Yisrael, which really belongs to the next paragraph. And where the Baal Musaf should pause. Next is Zichronos. Zichronos, the pasuk of Zecher Asal Nifla'osav Chanan V'rachum Hashem, which is from Tehillim, does not, what?
What pasuk?
Zecher Asal Nifla'osav. Zecher Asal Nifla'osav Chanun V'rachum Hashem, which is a pasuk from Tehillim, does not reflect the theme of Zichronos. It doesn't belong there, Oliver. It does not belong there. And the question is, what's it doing there? The theme is obviously that Hashem remembers all of man's actions. We quote Pesukim from Parshas Noach in the Torah part. Hashem remembers all of man's actions, so it's best to combine Zecher and the following Pasuk, which is also the actual Pasuk that follows it in Tehillim. It's its juxtaposition in the actual Tehillim, in real life. You're supposed to combine those two psukim into one v'nemar. And then, if you do that, you're combining those psukim, you need another pasuk. So you can add another pasuk. The two psukim people add are either Zechor Li'olam Briso, which is also from Tehillim. It's Tehillim Kufhei. Zechor Li'olam Briso, Mikey. Or Zechor Hashem Livnei Edom, which we have in the Slichos. Zechor Hashem Livnei Edom, which is Tehillim Kuf Lamed Zayin. That's in Zichronos. For Shofros, we quoted the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and the fact that we passed like Rabbi Yossi, that the order is that you need three psukim from Torah, then three from Ksuvim, then three from Nevi'im. I owe you an answer. Followed by one from the Torah. That's true for Malchios Zichronos also, because you have 10 psukim. Right? That's one from the Torah. So you have 10. 3, 3, 3, and then one. One from the Torah for Malchios Zichronos and Shofros. For Shofros, listen to this, the first three Torah psukim mention Shofar, but the concluding Torah pasuk only mentions Chatzotros, and not the shofar, which means that it's the we'll lay it later, but it's the psukim from Parshas Bahaloscha. Asay lecha shtecha tzotzeros kesef. How then, the question on Shofros, we had a textual point in Malchios, a textual point in Zichronos, so now we bring you one from Shofros. How then is that considered to be a valid pasuk? The pasuk about chatzotzros in Parshas Baaloscha, if it needs to mention shofar, but it doesn't. It only mentions chatzotzros. So there are three answers to this question, and this is how we're going to conclude shir. The first answer, each answer is quick. The first answer is, b'dieved, even if we don't end with a pasuk from Chumash, we are still yotzei. Right? That's according to virtually everybody. B'dievet, meaning that's a din l'chadchila, that you need to end with a pasuk from Chumash as your 10th pasuk dani, but b'dievet, it's okay. I always follow up when people ask me halachic shailas in yeshiva and elsewhere. I always say, when they ask, yeah, but Rebbe, it's good b'dievet, right? I'll be like, yeah, if you want to be a b'dievet Jew, it's good b'dievet. We're trying to be l'chadchila Jew. Some of you have heard that line from me before. So b'dievet, if we don't end with a pasuk from Chumash, we're still yotzei. I guess that's okay if you're a b'dievet Jew. The second answer is that a pasuk that mentions trua or another shofar themed word like chatzotros without mentioning the official word of shofar is okay, and you're yotzei with that.
You read that?
Sure. A pasuk that mentions trua, which this does, I mean, or this mentions chatzotros, right, trumpets, but in Parshas Baaloscha, but if it mentions trua or another shofar themed word, another shofar related word, like chatzotros, without mentioning literally shofar, that's okay. And you're yotzei with that. And the third and final answer is that it's not really a third answer. I mean, it is, but it's like a nafgamina of the first two answers. Therefore, what follows is that a tkiya verb is as valid as a trua verb. Meaning, uskatem b'chatzotzeros is what we mentioned in the tefillah. Uskatem or utkatem is the lashon of tkiya. So that's not the word of shofar. That's not the word of shofar, Morty, right? But it's still considered to be good, because you don't need literally the word shofar, you need a shofar themed word. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. We should be familiar with the Psukim. This also gives us an appreciation for not only the Psukim, but that we should go over the Machzer with all the notes that we have. The Bakasha, the Shevach, to know the difference between the two, to know what the Tfilos mean, that takes hours. But to know what the Tfilos means, to give you an appreciation of the history and origins of the Nigunim, all the way going back, and you have this in English, but all the way going back to the 700s, yes. Question? No, just the third is not really a third answer. I mentioned the third is like what you know, like an outgrowth or ramification, an afkamina of what follows is that there's a tkiya verb, and the tkiya verb there, uskatem or utkatem b'chatzotzeros, that's as valid as a trua verb. And a trua verb is as valid as shofar or shofros. You don't need the actual word shofar. You have the word chatzotros. Everybody should have a ksivach sima tova la'alter chaim tova mushalom. All the tefillos that you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially with this appreciation of the machzer now, and the nigunim, and the text. Yalat tefillos for all of our good, all the tefillos that Yidav and Hashem should bench you, and all of us, with only good things.
Amen.